Shalom Aleichem, on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Shavuos Mem Gimel, Shavuos 43a, pagination is 85, starting from the Mishnah towards the bottom of the page, about 8 lines up, Masnisin. Hamalva es chavera ala mashkon. A person lent money to his friend on a collateral, on an item that's going to be held as security on the loan. The idea would be that by holding this security, he will be guaranteed payment should the lover, the borrower, not come through with the payment. Va'avara mashkon, and now this security is lost, it's gone. And the lender recognizes that he has to settle with the borrower. The borrower likewise realizes he has to settle with the lender. It could be that the mashkon covered the cost of the loan. It could be that it didn't. It could even be that the mashkon, the security, was in excess of the loan. Such a variety of possibilities. Let's explore. Omar lo. The malva, the lender, claims, Sela hilvi sicha olav. I lent you a sela worth of money, v'shekel hayashove, and the mashkon was only worth a shekel. Let's spend a moment and discuss the denominations that the Mishnah is describing. And for simplicity's sake, I'm going to do the transfer to coins that we are familiar with. A dollar, a half dollar, and quarters. So a dollar coin is the equivalent of the sela. The sela can be subdivided into two shkalim. Two shkalim equals one sela. So that's like the half dollar, which is half of the denomination of the largest coin. In this case, the sela or the dollar. And the half dollars can further be subdivided into halves, which would be quarters. Quarters, four quarters, are the same as two half dollars, which is the same as one full dollar. So let's look at the Mishnah again. Omar lo sela hilvisicha, I gave you the loan of a sela, in our example, a dollar, v'shekel hayashave, and the mashkon was only worth a shekel, which is the half dollar. V'hala omer lochi, and the borrower says that's not true. Ela sela hilvisani alav, indeed you lent me the dollar, v'sela hayashave, but the mashkon was worth the same amount. It was also worth a dollar. Potter, he's going to be absolved. He'll have to make the Shavuos Heses denial, but the concept of moda b'miktzas hataina, that he's admitting part of the claim, doesn't exist here, and from that severe type of oath, he is absolved. Next case. Sela hilvisicha olav. I lent you a sela, a full dollar, upon the security, v'shekel hayashave, and it was only worth a half of that, a shekel or a half dollar. V'hala omer lochi, and the responding claim of the borrower is, ela sela v'isani alav, indeed it was a dollar, a sela, u'shlosha dinarim hayashave. But in this case, he doesn't claim that it's an even swap. He claims that it was 75 cents. It was three quarters. It was three dinarim. Three of the quarter coins. Chayiv, he's going to be obligated in what we described, the Shavuas Moda B'miktzas. He's a partial admission over here. Because one quarter, he admits, he still owes. Now, in Halacha, the Shach brings that he could pull off a Halach if he wanted to, which would mean that he would put the quarter straight down in the hands of the lender. And like this, he could be a kofar. He could say, I owe you nothing, and therefore he absolves himself of this severe type of oath, a moda b'miktzas. But the basic halacha of the Mishnah is straightforward, that based on his claim, he's a moda b'miktzas, he still owes, and therefore he would pay up what he agrees he owes, and he would be making an oath on the remaining discrepancy. The Mishnah continues with the flip case, which is that the borrower is claiming that the security that he provided was worth more than the amount of the loan, and therefore, by losing his security, you actually owe him money. Says the Mishnah, Sela hilvisani alav ushtayim hayashave. You lent me a sela, one coin, a dollar, and the security was worth two. Vahala omer, and the other one says, the lender, lochi, it's not true, ela sela hilvisicha alav sela hayashave. I lent you a dollar, and it was worth a dollar, potter. So then the lender is absolved because he claims that there's nothing owed at all, and what would remain is only a shivuas hesis, a denial. But it's not a moda b'miktas, a partial admission. Conversely, sela hilvisani alav ushtayim hayashave, if the claim of the borrower is that you lent me a dollar, and the security was $2. V'hala omer lochi ala sela v'sicha alav v'chamisha dinarim hayashave. And he responds that I lent you the $1. And he admits that the security was worth just a little bit more than that. Is $1.25 in our example. Chayiv. Then he's a case of a moda b'miktas, and he's going to have to make that severe type of oath because he's agreeing that he owes a quarter. And again, we could consider what happens if he does a halach. He puts the quarter down and then says, I deny any further obligation, if he could downgrade the level of the shavua. But in terms of his claim, he's a moda b'miktas. The Mishnah concludes, Mi nishba, who makes the first oath? Because you'll notice that there's an obligation on each of them to make an oath, because there's an oath that we did not formally discuss, but it's called a shivuas hashomrim, an oath that's imposed on a person who's a guardian of property, because we're worried, even if he says, I'm willing to pay for it, we're still worried, Shema in of Nosanbo, maybe he coveted the item that was entrusted to him and he made it disappear because he wants to buy it. And this is his way of forcing the sale. So in Choshen Mishpat Ayin Beis Tesvav, we find a concept that even if he's willing to pay, he still has to make an oath that he does not have the item. So the question here is, who makes the oath first? Does the borrower make the oath if there's an oath upon him regarding how much the collateral, the security was worth, and therefore how much he still owes and does not owe, an oath of denial that he owes any more than that? Or do we have the lender who had the security and lost it, does he make the oath first? So the Mishnah tells us, Minishba mishapikodon etzlo. We have the person who last had the security, the collateral in his possession, that's who will make the oath first. He's making an oath of denial that he still has the collateral. He's making an oath that it's truly lost. Shema yishavazeh, we're worried that if we don't structure it in that order, then we're going to have the borrower make the oath first, v'yotze alos hapikadon, and then the lender will pull out the item, and we'll see precisely how much it's worth, and it could be that this is a situation that will discredit the borrower because he misquoted, in the words of Rashi, Shema lo dikdek. Maybe he wasn't so precise. He acted in good faith. He made an oath in good faith. It's a little bit of a question. How much is he going to be liable if he wasn't right on target, exactly at the right number? But thought that he was doing it in good faith. Rashi does use the words, V'yifsalenu le'edus u'l-shavua. He would be possible for testimony in the future and to make an oath because he's been disproven. The words of the Rif, V'nimtza shem shemayim mischalel. If you have somebody who's now proven to have sworn falsely, so it's a chilul Hashem, it's a desecration of Hashem's name to expose an oath that was done falsely. We could explore this. It seems that just on its own, the false shavua may or may not bother us. But once the false shavua is exposed, it has severe ramifications. In any case, we would have the lender who last had it swear that he no longer has it, so he's not going to suddenly pull it out. That would prove himself a liar. And once that oath is in place, we can have the borrower swear how much the item was worth and therefore how much he's actually going to have to pay. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.